This cheese comes with a trap attached. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Great to be with you, Barry. Glad to be back in the studio, as always. I hope you're doing well down there in Gallipolis.
I am doing quite well, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's a good thing. That's good to know. I know you're a busy man these days, and of course, we should let the folks out there know that we're all busy right now preparing to teach our class, which begins on Friday night or Friday afternoon, depending on which one of these classes you want to take.
Depending on which of the classes you're taking, that's correct.
We have Friday's going to be a busy day for us because beginning at 3:30 on Friday, March 1st at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, Barry and I will be teaching the first week of the Institute on the Constitution class, the first of 12 weeks. And then we get in the car, grab a little dirty bite to eat, head over to Marengo, Ohio, to Marengo Christian Church, where we will be teaching the same class from 7 to 9.
Yeah, so we're going to be a big, busy Fridays for the next 3 months. And ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, you know, you could join us. Registrations are still open, and we still have space available for either class, for the Mount Vernon class or for the Marengo class. Now, I know that might be a little bit out of the way for some people in the southern part of our listening audience, but we actually do have, I think, at least one class member that's going to be coming that's taking the drive from Lancaster all the way up to Mount Vernon.
Yeah, that's right. Not only that, there is another class that I'm working on right now, and I'm working with someone down in the Canal Winchester area who actually is forming a class possibly on the western side of Franklin County. So if you're interested in that, you would do well to contact us. Go to www.principledpolicy.com. Send us an email if you're interested in the possibility of a class on the western side of Franklin County. And that would go for those people who are perhaps in London, Hilliard, Dublin, Upper Arlington. Name the place. It'll be a close, not too far drive for you. Much closer than Marengo.
That's for sure.
Much closer than Mount Vernon. And you and I will be putting some miles on our cars in the next 12 weeks.
Yes, we will. But you know what? We love doing it because we love seeing the transformative idea that God is in control. And that he was guiding and superintending everything that comes to pass, including our constitutional form of government, and that he enlightened our founders, and they came up with a system that, unless we really do our level best to try to wreck it, still works. But, Chuck, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is people who try to do their level best to wreck the system that we have.
Well, that's exactly it, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They are trying to abuse the system to make it work for their own ends rather than the ends that it was designed to work for.
That is correct. What we're going to start with, though, and we may be talking about this over the next couple of days, is an article in an American Visions website at AmericanVision.org written by our friend Dr. Joel McDermott, who has penned an article, posted it up here earlier on the 21st, but I think it's a great one, and we're going to link to it. It's called The Smiling Politician. Yes, it's everything you think it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. You see, Dr. McDermott is the author of a book, and it's called Restoring America One County at a Time. It is a book that we are going to be using as supplemental material for the Institute on the Constitution class, because after reading it and reading parts of it, Chuck and I both just sat back and said, wow, this is what we're talking about. Basically, he uses in the book and in his lectures a phrase that he calls taking the cheese. And yes, it should conjure up in your mind all of the various mental pictures of a mouse, a rat, or whatever, grabbing cheese off of a trap, because that's exactly what he's talking about. Only problem is, the trap that's being baited is being set by the federal government, and the cheese is actually, they take it from you. It's your tax dollars, and they make it and mix it all up and put it into various certain things like highway funding and support and grants, etc., and they mix it all together, and then they set it out, and hopefully the states or individuals will ask their governments, their local governments, to go get the cheese. Well, what happens when a mouse takes the cheese, Chuck?
He gets his neck snapped.
That's right. The trap closes. And that's what McDermott's talking about in this article called The Smiling Politician.
And it's an excellent illustration of what does happen, Barry, because so many times, I don't know how many times I've had people, as we teach these Institute on the Constitution classes, how did we get into this situation? How did we get from where we were to where we are? And in fact, what McDermott's entire book is about, Restoring America One County at a Time, is about the fact that we keep taking the cheese. And unfortunately, Barry, as we take that cheese, the trap snaps shut. And as that trap snaps shut, we get less and less and less and less and less liberty and more and more and more and more dependent upon government subsidy, government doing this, government doing that, government taking care of us through guaranteeing that we'll be able to buy insurance on certain things. Well, it's not up to the government to guarantee that I can get insurance. Taking care of my health care, making sure that I'll be able to retire on some pittance, $1,000 a month or something. It's not even some of the subsidies that we have allowed to snap down on us aren't even particularly good. If I put all the money that I put into Social Security every week into a private retirement fund, I'd have way more than the amount of money that I would have, that I will have, if I ever actually get to collect
Social Security. I was just about to say, and your money might actually still be there.
Yes, exactly. I'm not positive. I haven't been positive for years. People used to ask, when are you going to retire? And I go, actually, I don't think I'll ever be able to retire. And I still don't think I'll be able to retire. My father-in-law never retired, and he passed away at, I think, 75, although he slowed way down, but he never retired. So what's going on? We're taking more and more and more of the bait. And one of the big things, Barry, that we're talking about taking the bait on, first of all, I think we ought to go through the scenario that McDermott goes through and then explain how this applies to something that's going on in Ohio politics right now, that this sort of struck me as I was thinking about this and speaking out loud about it. Here's what McDermott talks about. He talks about a scenario. I'm going to read it. Quote, "This is a thoroughly bipartisan effort in the modern era. Those politicians of either major party who have consistently resisted and opposed this tactic can also be counted on one finger, and the tactic is laying out the cheese, laying out the goodies, and using it to further their electoral advantage. The problem can be described with this variation upon a familiar phrase, the political industrial complex. In other words, government business partnership. All right? In this case, understand the words political and industrial in their widest senses possible, and you will begin to get a sense of the enormity of the problem. Even the most conservative of politicians among us eat, sleep, and breathe government grants and handouts whenever it suits them politically. In doing so, they are generally voicing the interests of their most powerful and vocal donors and constituents. These may be liberal or they may be conservative. It doesn't really matter. The principle is the same, the use of government to channel money to favored interests."
Well, I was going to interject here. We see that all the time, Chuck. That's politics. That's exactly what happens in the vast majority of times in politics, is certain groups come in, they get a group of folks to start getting the politicians warmed up to the idea, they set up a quote-unquote emergency or a necessity for it, and pretty soon, then it's in order to appease or make happy those certain constituencies, the legislator then puts in an appropriation or gets a line item in a bill, whatever, to move their favored project into the funding phase.
Exactly. And this next paragraph sort of states it all. "This is sold to the public under various ruses. The public good, the public interest, public necessity, the lesser of evils." How many times have we heard that one? "Meeting a crisis." Barry, I've talked about meeting crises and what crises do to the system repeatedly, and you can get some of that information from our Camp American videos. "The inability of free markets." How many times have you heard that one? "Alleged human rights, creating jobs, improving society, health, education, threats of chaos, crime, poverty, war, coming in second to another state or nation, or with the use of pictures of starving children, politicians kissing infants or petting puppies."
Yeah, well, you know, you don't see quite the thing with politicians kissing infants or petting puppies anymore, but using pictures of starving children to try to make your point, yeah, you see that quite a bit.
All the time. In reality,
my old saying has been, and I credit hat tip to a old colleague of mine, we came up with this idea that whenever government says that it's for public health or it's for the children, grab your wallet and your freedoms because you're about to lose both.
Yes. Head for the hills. In reality, the background story is that, for example, large local businesses could increase profits, say, by increasing truck traffic. But this requires larger highways. But this would be a major investment of capital far beyond what those businesses would spend on their own and at their own risk. Thus, the congressman gets a call. But the proposal is not, we want bigger highways so we can make more money, but we want someone else to pay for the highways. This would hardly interest a politician unless he had a direct cut in the deal. But a direct cut in the deal would be corrupt. Immediate public exposure would likely end the politician's career, and we have seen that happen more than once recently. Politicians are savvier than that. The proposal is if we had bigger highways, we could generate more business, and that could create more jobs in your district. Further, the increased business would also spur other local businesses, restaurants, etc. Now, that is music to a politician's ear. Would he not love to report next campaign season? Quote, through my experience and leadership, I created 1,000 new jobs in our state and turned around our struggling economy. He begins to work the marionette strings of the Capitol Hill. Tens, hundreds of million dollars in state and federal highway grants roll in. That campaign season, the same politician runs down his liberal opponent by accusing him of favoring big government and wasteful spending. He calls himself a fiscal conservative. Okay, Barry, you and I have talked about this, although not necessarily on the air. Who does this sound like in state government right this minute?
Well, I think our governor has made his pitch last week at the State of the State about how we've got to think big and have big ideas and basically go to the federal government and ask them for $19 billion in Medicaid funding.
And what was it called? Free money.
Free money. That's right. It's our money, he said. And I got to thinking about that because I didn't say this before when we talked about this topic. And I hadn't really said it before anywhere else. But today I was contemplating that whole idea. And I realized something. Even if he doesn't say free money, if he says that's our money, no, it's not. Actually, it's not. Our money that we've sent to the federal government has already been spent on other areas. In order to fund this Medicaid expansion to the states, the federal government has to take on another $6.2 trillion of debt. That's additional debt, $6.2 trillion with a T. That's not our money. It will be our money because the siphon will suck it right out of the state in federal taxes and federal fees in order to then reconvert it and turn it back around to then bind the hands of the state, who will then bind the hands locally when the federal government stops supplying all of the matching money.
Exactly. The fact is that free money is never free, and the fact is it's going to cost us way more money down the road. So why am I seeing on Facebook things like conservatives who back Kasich's Medicare expansion, and it's a suggestion that I might like that page on Facebook?
Uh-huh.
Why do you suppose I'm getting those, Barry?
Well, they've misidentified you as a conservative. That's the problem. You screaming liberal, you. Actually, I think it's because they're trying to get people to repeat the meme and to build up a case to say, oh, look at us. We brought conservatives to you, Mr. Governor, for your proposal. Big problem is I took a look at that same page you're talking about, and if the comments are any indication, they're not doing such a hot job of getting conservatives all warm and fuzzy about embracing a broader federal spending and its mandates that would be put upon the state of Ohio.
It's going over approximately as well as the Hindenburg did.
That's it.
Which is not very well at all. In fact, all I can say is, as I view some of the comments on that page, oh, the humanity.
Yeah, some people are not as kind as they might possibly want to be online when they're discussing their displeasure with a organization trying to front for a plan that is woefully non-conservative.
Now, Barry, we're out of time, so I would very much like to expand this discussion because we really just sort of skirted the edges of it.
Well, that's the problem with Joel McDermott. You start reading his stuff, you really can get into some deep conversations.
Exactly. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.